Welcome to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast, where we talk all things fitness, nutrition, and wellness for women to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life inside and out. And now, your hosts, Laura Jackson and Amanda Quinn.
Hello, and welcome to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast. I am Laura Jackson.
And I'm Amanda Quinn.
And we are your hosts for today's show. Well, for every Fit Chick show.
lucky you.
I know, lucky you. You get to spend the next 30 minutes with us. And we also have a really good topic we're talking about today. So sometimes we answer questions that we get sent in from our chicks or sometimes from some roosters. But today we're kind of chatting about something that encompasses a bunch of questions that we were getting. So we thought, why not put it all into one podcast instead of addressing them all separately? So we got a lot of ground to cover. Amanda, are you ready?
Always. I'm excited. I love doing pumped.
Okay, I'm pumped too. So now the big reveal. What are we talking about today? We are talking about the five biggest mistakes women make when trying to get fit or lose fat. So important. So important. And these are the questions that we are getting the most from women who are trying to get fit or lose fat. And a lot of them, they don't know that they're doing these things. They don't know they're making these mistakes, and it's sabotaging any results that they're working so hard to get. And I know there's nothing more frustrating than working for something and not getting anywhere.
Totally. When we get to mistake number two, that is what I have been guilty of pretty much like almost my whole life.
at some point in my fitness journey, I have been guilty of every single one of these mistakes. So, you know, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, oh my God, I do all of these, don't worry, because I did too. And now it's just, you can just stop and change it and get the results that you want. So It's going to be some awesome content. Okay.
So let's do this.
Let's do it. We're going to go through each mistake though, one by one, because we don't want to let the cat out of the bag and give away all of our secrets at the beginning. And this way too, you get to stay on for the entire podcast to find out what the five mistakes are. Okay. So what is mistake number one? So mistake number one for women who are trying to get fit and lose fat is that they do not lift weights. And I know,
huge mistake.
And I know right now, probably 3/4 of you listening to this probably don't lift weights. Amanda, did you go through a point in your life where you didn't lift weights?
Totally. Even now, I mean, right now I'm back into lifting, but for a little while I did take a break again, and that was more just for my own personal choice. I got really back into my yoga and stuff, but yoga is a lot about strength training because it's a lot about like your body resistance and everything else. So I did give up on heavy lifting for a while, but now I've switched back because I realized, you know, just the difference that it makes in the way that your body reacts to things, in the way that it looks, in the way that it shapes itself. I'm still doing my yoga practice. I'm still doing all these other things, but I've definitely incorporated it back in because it really is like a game changer in that sense.
Well, and that's the main thing is that when you strength train or resistance train, you end up building muscle, and muscle is metabolically active. So that really means that you are burning more calories doing nothing because you are carrying more lean muscle mass. And if you missed, we did a podcast a little bit ago that was strength versus cardio, the great debate. So it's definitely a must listen if it's something that you want a little bit more info on. We're going to kind of touch on it today, but we do have five big mistakes, so we're kind of going to be all over the board. But strength training is so important for that. It's so important to increase your metabolism. It's so important to change the shape of your body. Like, I was talking to one of my chicks the other day about how she wants a bigger booty. And I was asking her, I was like, okay, like she wants, you know, bigger glutes, which is the proper term for booty. Bigger gluteal maximus, minimus, and medius muscles. And I asked her, okay, that's awesome. Like, what are you currently doing? And she said, well, I do the Stairmaster. And I was like, okay, are you doing any resistance training? And she said, no. Well, stepping on the stairs, I think, is activating my butt muscles. And yes, it is. And it's a great cardiovascular exercise. it's not really building the muscle or changing the shape of the bum. You know, you've got to do things like squats, you've got to do hip thrusters, you've got to do deadlifts. So yeah, it's just kind of really changing the way that we think about certain things like strength training. I find that women still, they have a misconception that it's going to make them bulky. So instead of focusing on using it as a tool to build muscle, they end up, you know, still looking at things like the Stairmaster to build their glutes.
Definitely. Yeah. And I think that you need to look at it as, you know, it's not as scary as you think it is. So chicks listening out there, you know, start off, get a plan in place and, you know, just start learning about the different muscle groups and how to activate them properly and how to do proper form, have a trainer help you or have, you know, go to some classes that will teach you about how to do proper form and things like that. And then eventually, you know, you can start incorporating in it because really when you start doing more strength training, you're going to see your body start changing because I mean, muscle is denser than fat, right? And so what that means is it takes up less space than fat. So if you want to change the way that your body looks, it's really about adding more muscle so that, because basically, although you've heard like muscle takes up 1/3 of the space of fat, the truth is a little bit less dramatic. Muscle takes up about 4/5 as much space as fat does. So what that means is that as you gain more muscle, you will get smaller. So you'll start shrinking, but you will start seeing that definition and that tone. So you always hear women say, you know, like, I want to tone up my muscles. I want to tone up my body. The way to tone your body is through strength training. So don't be afraid of it. Find some way of learning how to do it correctly and start incorporating it right away.
Well, and that's why I love that you just said that about, you know, that muscle takes up less space. It's not necessarily, you know, a pound is a pound.
Totally.
But this is where there's a huge misconception, and especially with women, when we get so attached to the scale, and we've got to let go of that number on the scale, because since muscle does take up less space, you can be a really tight, toned, strong 150 pounds, or you can be a, you know, an overweight 150 pounds wearing two sizes larger. So get away from the number on the scale and use more measurables like performance and obviously the shape of your body. But
and the fit of your clothes. I mean, all of those things play such a huge role. Also, you know, doing measurements. I know like in our FitChicks classes, we do measurements at the beginning and end of the program. And the reason why we do measurements versus just using the scale as a tool is because your measurements can't lie. Like if you notice on the scale, you're getting heavier, but your measurements are getting smaller. That's a good thing, right? Because that means that you are starting to reshape your body, gaining more muscle. So it just might mean that you're getting heavier because you're getting denser.
Well, and I'll even use myself as an example, like right now, so depending on what's going on in my life, I'm always active. I'm always working out, but you know, it will change the level of commitment or time that I have to do it. And right now I'm really busy with a lot of other areas of my life, including, you know, our business, including educating myself. So I'm really focused on self and personal growth right now, not so much in terms of fitness growth. So that being said, my workouts have suffered because at times, you know, I'm working late or I'm studying and things like that. So they might not be to the level that they used to be when I was strength training 5 days a week. And I'm still the same weight though that I was this time last year on the scale, but my pant size has gone up by one. So it's just one of those things that, you know, it was just an affirmation to me again, like stay away from that number on the scale because it doesn't matter. But you do need to be incorporating the strength training to really change the shape of your body.
Of course.
So what's our solution? What's our solution?
So the solution is to add strength training or weight training at least 3 times per week. So 4 to 5 times per week if you really want to change the shape of your body and build muscle. But if you're really looking to just start incorporating it, to start building more, a little bit more lean muscle mass, to start upping your metabolic activity rates and things like that, at least 3 times per week will, like, definitely you will start seeing changes, the types of changes you were looking for. And also lift as heavy as you can. I know that, you know, often we will turn to like the 3s, the 5s as ladies. We just kind of naturally go to lighter weights. But when you're really trying to reshape your body, when you're looking at it from a strength training, reshaping your body point of view, you want to go heavy. So you want to go as heavy as you can and do as many repetitions as you can to failure so that you really are maximizing your time and also maxing out your muscle.
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully now after hearing about mistake number one, you will start lifting weights and adding resistance training to your workout regime. Okay, so what is mistake number two? So mistake number two that women make when trying to get fit and lose fat is that they do too much cardio.
Guilty.
I know, and it's such a mental struggle too to get over the idea that more is better, because it's not always, you know,
it's so hard to get your head around that though. It really is. Like, I can honestly attest to that.
And when cardio is a very interesting thing, you really only want to do as much cardio as you need to reach your goals, but no more than that. Because what it does is it puts your body into a state of stress. And any exercise does, but cardio really puts you into a higher state of stress. And if you look at any long-term endurance athletes, you'll see that they usually have, and studies have shown this, that they have longer, later on issues, than someone who was not an endurance athlete. And I'm not saying everybody who was an endurance athlete will, mm-hmm. you know, experience health issues later on, but there's a lot, because it is very taxing on the body.
Totally. I actually know, a doctor, and her and I had this amazing conversation about cardio. And this was, it was a while back. I was actually seeing her for my adrenal glands because my stress levels were really high. And we were talking about working out and things like that. And at that time, my workouts would range from anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour and a half a day. And she was just like, okay, so let's take your workouts down to half an hour intervals. And, you know, even if you work out twice in a day, you do your cardio in the morning and then you do your strength training at night, break it down to half an hour maximum and take your, you know, your levels down a bit. And as soon as I started changing it, I started seeing changes in my body. And it was because I was working out to such fatigue and stressing my body out so much that I was actually stressing out my adrenal glands. I was causing cortisol levels to be increased, which causes belly fat. And it was a really interesting conversation. She was actually a marathon runner, and she was saying that when she, before she really understood this, when she was training for marathons beforehand, she would actually put on about 13 pounds of weight. And it wasn't because she wasn't training or she was eating too much pasta, you know, it was literally because her body was just overtrained.
Well, and
way to think of it.
Oh, completely. And the other thing with cardio too is that it doesn't preserve muscle. And this is where we have to, again, wrap our head around the fact that muscle is really important, going back to mistake number one. Mm-hmm. Preserving your muscle is just as important as losing fat. So a lot of times when we're doing too much cardio, we might be losing fat, but we're losing that muscle as well, which then in the long term is going to impede your goals as opposed to help you get there. And this is the other thing I want to say, we always talk about losing weight, right? But we really got to shift that verbiage, because what we really want to do is lose fat. We don't care about the weight on the scale. If we're dropping muscle and we're dropping fat at the same time, like, we're not really achieving our goal.
No, for sure. Because I mean, when you start basically being counterproductive by, you know, losing fat and muscle at the same time, really, you just start doing cardio alone and you're on a calorie deficit diet and all these things, eventually, you know, instead of having that tone physique that you, you know, are imagining that you sort of want, you end up with that, what they call the skinny fat syndrome or the skinny fat physique, right? Which is where you look really lean, but because you have leaned out so much and you've also metabolically sort of eaten away at your own muscle, you now are just sort of, you're thin, but you have like that soft look to you. And I know that that's not normally the end result that people are going for.
Well, and also, you know, not only just the visual side of it, but from health standpoint, right?
Of course.
Like, you are skinny fat, and which, you know, you may fit into a certain number of clothing, but in the long run, you know, you're at a higher risk for osteoporosis. You are weaker. You're more prone to injuries. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? There's so many things that go along with having muscle and not, and preserving muscle. So when we're talking about a solution here, I always say the solution here is to do HIIT. So HIIT is our high intensity interval training. And research has shown that it is better to do than the long intensity steady state, or low intensity steady state, which is, those are more the longer bouts of cardio, like 30 to 60 minutes. Mm-hmm. HIIT, I would never do it more than 20 minutes straight through. But even I would even start doing it around 12 minutes after a strength training session, even doing short, short intervals in between your strength training workouts. Mm-hmm. And this way you are definitely, you know, you're burning calories, you are getting the benefits of the cardiovascular training, but then you're not eating away at your muscle and you're preserving the muscle.
Definitely. I mean, that's why, you know, even with our FitChix classes, we do HIIT training. And we, you know, when you say, you know, never do more than 20 minutes of HIIT, if you really look at the way that we break down our classes, we really follow that pattern, because it's really about doing a short burst of cardio and then following it up with strength training as our active recovery. So really what we're doing is we're combining the best of both worlds by taking cardiovascular and taking strength training and making that into our workouts. And it is proven to be the best way to burn the most amount of calories in the shortest amount of time. It's also really good for getting rid of that stubborn ab fat, you know, the muffin top area, also the dangerous accumulation of visceral fat, which is the fat that's around all of your organs. So definitely 100%, if you're looking for a solution for cardio, if cardio is your thing, if you do HIIT training, you're definitely going to see big changes, and it also saves you a ton of time.
Oh, I know. And the other thing I just want to add to that too, in terms of the cardio side, because I know for a lot of women, it's really hard to wrap your head around more is not better. Mm-hmm. I know when I shifted from doing 60 minutes on the treadmill to doing 15 minutes of HIIT, I was like, how is this effective? Like, how am I burning as much? You know, it doesn't make sense to me. 15 minutes versus 60 minutes. Like, I've got to be burning more in the 60 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, again, if you want to really get into the strength and the cardio, the background, listen to the past podcast, because we do really talk about that. But I always say to women, then do the HIIT, but get more active on the daily. Like, don't just think that your exercise time is your gym. So that's when it's like, get a pedometer. I don't know if anyone has the Apple Watch, but it actually will buzz if you are sitting for too long. So
cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah. It like talks to you. Like, it literally will be like, oh, you've been lazy. Time to get up and go for a walk. But I mean, even for someone, again, like me right now, focusing so much on work and on studying and things like that, I can get into my geek zone and I realize I haven't moved in 2 hours. I haven't even gone to the bathroom. So, you know what I mean? I think that's such a really cool tool to give you a reminder. And then, you know, complement that with the short burst of HIIT. So you're still burning a lot of calories, you're moving, you're getting your heart rate up, but then you're not putting yourself into that danger zone.
Mm-hmm. No, really good point. All right. So mistake number three, let's do this.
Mistake number three. So mistake number three that women make when trying to get fit and lose fat is that they do not eat a proper balance of the three macronutrients. Now, I don't want to get into a big science lesson, but for anyone who doesn't know what macronutrients are, is they are protein, carbohydrates, and fat. So pretty much these are the three things that your body, we cannot sustain ourselves without. We need each one of these to live. And you'll know if you've gone on a completely, you know, pure protein diet, there'll be a point where you cannot sustain that any longer. Or if you're going on a pure carbohydrate diet, you're not going to be able to sustain that. You're actually probably gonna have major blood sugar issues.
I laugh just because I'm like, pure carbohydrate diet.
Potatoes.
So bad.
I know, seriously. I'm like,
I'm just kidding.
It sounds good in theory. And then once you get into it for a few days, you're like, oh my God, I'm dying.
Well, of course. Yeah. I mean, just from a personal standpoint, I can attest to this too, because I remember doing the high protein diet and low carb, like low carb, almost zero carbs every day. And I remember feeling really tired. I felt starving all the time, but not in like my stomach. I actually just felt it like throughout my body. Like I actually, cause I could feel like I was malnutritioned. And I remember just like really foggy brain, you know, cause you can't focus. Like you just, your brain just won't focus properly if you're not having the proper nutrients. So it's really important. But Laura, what would you say to the people that are really afraid of carbohydrates? Cause I mean, that's like a huge thing. And I know we're not getting into the science of it, but just, you know, can you break that down for them? Because I know your background is more nutrition based. I'd really like to just hear what you have to say about like the whole low carb craze and, you know, avoiding like, oh my gosh, I can't eat an apple. It has too much sugar in it kind of deal.
Well, I first want to preface that with saying that I think there is no one size fits all way to eat. So there are some people who will completely thrive on lower carbohydrates and that will make them have the most energy, maintain their weight, be the healthiest.
Is that to do with blood type?
There's a lot of different theories on it. I think a lot of it's to do, I mean, even if you look at Ayurvedic medicine, which is, they break it down into the three doshas. So there's people who are considered as Vata, Pitta, Kapha. You know, each one of them would need a different combination of the three, of the three macronutrients. So for example, Vata, which is very similar to ectomorphs, that's our Northern American term for that body type. They usually need a lot more carbohydrates. They're naturally taller, thinner. They burn very quickly. They burn through everything. So they, and carbohydrates, it's our first source of energy. So they burn fast and they burn first. Mm-hmm. Whereas somebody who is a Kapha, which is, as we would call like an endomorph, that's someone who carries a lot more fat easily, and they usually have a slower metabolism. They're usually heavier, and they would not thrive on eating carbohydrates all the time. They should probably only eat them maybe once or twice a day. So it really boils down to your constitution and how your body processes things. But as a general kind of rule, I personally think that everyone should just focus on eating a balance of the three. So when I talk about carbohydrates, I usually talk about carbohydrates as fiber as opposed to carbohydrates, because there are so many shitty carbohydrates and we are truly eating such a carbohydrate heavy diet now that we really need to, when I think about eating a carbohydrate, I try to tell my clients to focus on thinking about eating a fiber instead, because then that way you're going to choose good quality carbohydrates as opposed to the fast burning ones like white bread, white sugar.
Can you give our listeners a couple of examples of some of the high fiber ones that you would recommend? Just because I know that this is a big burning question always.
Well, some I love, like raspberries are one of my favorite. They have 8 grams of fiber per cup, which is a ton. And you wouldn't necessarily think of raspberries as like a really good source of fiber.
Or even as a source of carbohydrate a lot of times.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing that's great about them too is they're a lower impact carbohydrate. So they don't affect blood sugar in the way that some of the higher sugar fruits would. So things like raspberries are great. Things like avocados are amazing. So avocados are actually one of my favorite foods because they're such a combination of healthy fats and they're really high in fiber. And they've got so many health benefits to them. I love avocados. Some other ones, of course, are like your leafy greens. So anything that's leafy and green is amazing for you and has so many health benefits. Mm-hmm. So those are some that you could pick. I always think natural. Like if it grows in that form, it's the best source. Like Fiber One bars, no. All brand cereal, no. Like they're all processed and refined. They're not even really food. They aren't food. You know what I mean? Like, so a friend of mine is actually on right now a one ingredient diet. And I was like, what the heck is a one ingredient diet? Everything that she eats can only have one ingredient to it. So she can make a recipe out of the mixed ingredients, but she can only eat one ingredient. So for example, like beef. Beef is beef. Beef doesn't have, you know what I mean? Like a list of 20 ingredients or like apples. Like apples,
yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, but speaking of what we're talking about though, for the mistake.
Yeah.
So when I'm saying all this, you know, obviously there's a lot we're going to get into nutrition at later podcasts for sure. But when we're talking about the mistake that women make is that they don't eat the balance of these three, because we need protein, because if you don't have protein, you can't build muscle or repair your body. Mm-hmm. If you're eating too many carbs or the wrong type of carbs, your blood sugar is going to be out of control and you're going to be storing fat.
Yeah.
If you don't eat enough carbs, you might have no energy depending on your body type, but you might have no energy or feel completely foggy and out of whack.
Right. And
if you're eating too little fat or the wrong kinds of fats, your hormones are going to be out of whack, which is the worst thing, especially for women trying to lose fat. If your hormones are screwed, you have no chance.
So you're screwed.
You're screwed. So that's when you got to take a step back and look at the hormonal health. But hormones, they need fat. So awesome source of fat would be like coconut oil or grass-fed butter, avocados, salmon, you know, as well as all the other oils that you use for dressing, like pumpkin and flax and chia seeds. But yeah, so I kind of use what we call at FitChix, you know, the complete in three rule to make sure that you are getting all three of these in and you're eating the right kinds. So we call it the complete in three rule. And it just basically means that at each meal to focus on having a protein, a fiber, and a fat. And that way you're never going to be not getting enough protein. Since you're focusing on the fiber, you're going to get the good carbohydrates, and then you're always making sure that you're getting healthy fats in as well.
Awesome. Good solution.
So that's kind of our answer to mistake number three, of not eating the proper balance of macronutrients. And then, okay, mistake number four. I think this is so important. So important. Mistake number four is that women set unrealistic expectations.
Totally a huge mistake, because it's really, you know, when women go into anything, especially when it comes to fitness though and health, often they just want a quick fix. You know, they're like, oh my gosh, I'm getting married in 4 weeks. You know, if you really think that in 4 weeks you were going to change your body, you're going to transform it in a way that, you know, you're going to go from, you know, whatever, I don't know, like if you're going to drop two dress sizes in 4 weeks or things like that, and you're going to do it in a healthy way, you're in for a complete shock.
Well, and I also think it's like, it really sets you up for failure. Like it sets totally. You up to feel terrible about yourself. It leads to frustration. You don't feel good enough. And then next thing you know, you're doing really terrible things to your body or making really bad choices, like over-exercising or under-eating, you know what I mean? Like,
or you're self-sabotaging and saying, screw it, and then just being like, I give up, and then stopping everything.
I know, and the one thing I've learned the older I get, my wise old age of 36, but I do really feel like, you know, everyone's in your 30s that like you will completely change the way that you think and feel. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, whatever. As I got into like, you know, 34, 35, 36, holy cow, the shift in the way that I think about my body, life, everything. And then everyone says that it gets even better when you're in your 40s and 50s, which is awesome. But just realizing like your mindset is everything. It is everything to your success. It is everything to your failure. It's everything to your weight loss. If you go into it with unrealistic expectations, you've already set your mindset up to fail. And that is more damaging than, you know, a lot of the other things that you can do.
For sure. You know, the other thing I think, when you look at unrealistic expectations and looking at that mistake is often they'll look at, you know, like fitness competitors or fitness models or actresses or other people that they admire for their outside appearance, or maybe they admire them for their inside as well. But, you know, generally they'll be looking at them from the outside perspective and saying, and doing a comparison. And saying, well, that's, you know, that's what I want to look like. I want to have Jennifer Aniston's arms or things like that. I read somewhere that her arms are like the number one envied body part of Hollywood.
She has amazing arms.
That's why I use her as an example. But you know, often people will say that, you know, that's what I want, or I want to look like this fitness cover model. But you have to realize that for them, that is their job. Like for Jen Aniston, having those arms is not her job, but looking a certain way is her job. It's her priority. It is her number one sort of end, you know, like end goal is to stay a certain look, a certain appearance, because that is sort of what gets her casted. Having fitness models on cover on covers of magazines, they have to stay in a certain form in order to be able to be on that cover of that magazine. And so this is completely their life. So understanding that that's not just going to the gym 3 times a week or 4 times a week and, you know, doing like a half an hour workout or a 45 minute, like this is like a lifestyle. So try to avoid that comparison, because it's really, it isn't a comparison. It's not a comparison in terms of life. So avoid it at all costs if you can.
Well, and also just adding to that is that not only is it their job, but also, you know, when you're comparing yourself saying, I want to look like X on the cover of Oxygen magazine, you also don't realize that that's years of training. That's just not muscle she built over, you know, a 6 month workout period. If you probably looked back in her fitness career and looked at her body type after working out after 6 months, what it looked like, you know what I mean? Like it muscle takes it's, you need muscle maturity. It takes time to grow. It takes time to shape. So a lot of times these women who we're comparing ourselves against have also been working out for years and years and years. And it's also their job. So it's a top priority in terms of, you know what I mean? Like it's very structured that they maintain that.
For sure.
So what's our solution?
Solution is get in the mindset of training for your life, not just fueling it with self-loathing, and like really focus on celebrating your week of workout successes. So rather than like, you know, worrying about like, oh my gosh, like what am I going to look like in 4 weeks? Or I've got all this stuff. Just focus on what you're doing right now. Be really proud of yourself for doing it and get into the mindset of being really proud of that and celebrating the fact that you are making changes, that you are adding strength training in, that you are doing HIIT training now, that you're eating the Complete in 3, you know, all those things. Focus on that part and avoid trying to, you know, focus on the negative stuff. Just stay really positive and stay really mindful.
Well, that's why I love that whole idea of like hashtag training for life. Cause really, you know, exercise is, and as cheesy as it sounds, I remember when I used to hear it, like it's a lifestyle. It's not just, you know, something you do, but it truly is. Like it has to be a lifestyle. You can't just do it for a period of time and then stop doing it and expect to maintain looking like that. Like it has to be something you can incorporate and train for the rest of your life. You know, you might up it during certain times when you have certain goals. It might decrease at certain times when those goals aren't as much of a priority. But if you are in a mindset where you're okay with that and you're not beating yourself up every time, you know, that ebb and flow of life happens, then you're going to be good. You're going to be set up for success.
For sure. I also really like that statement of, you know, work out because you love your body, not because you hate it and want to change it. And I think that that's a really important statement and a really powerful statement, because when you look at it from a perspective of, I'm doing this so that I'm healthier, so that I'm stronger, so that I can live a better life, live a longer life. Like that's really, that should be like in the back of your mind, fueling you, right? As opposed to just like, I'm working out because I hate my muffin top. Like when you put it into such a negative mindset, it also makes working out really suck.
Well, and I truly believe that nothing in life can come from a place of negativity. You know, like if you look at the most successful people in the world, whether it be in business or in fitness or in family, is that their mindset is always solution-based and positive. They are never coming from a place of negativity, and because it's counterproductive. You cannot reach your goals if you're feeling negative about it all the time.
Totally.
So, and I, you know, it's at the end of the day though, it is also a practice. So don't feel stressed if you're like, shit, I can't change my mindset into a positive one. Like I feel like I'm a negative person and blah, blah, blah. Like it is the same as going to the gym and turning it into a routine. Mindset is a practice as well. You know, you've got to keep catch yourself when you're starting to say these negative things and, you know, pull the reins back and be like, whoa, I'm doing some negative self-talk here. Like switch it to a positive, you know? And then eventually I always say, I use this, the jeans analogy.
What's the jeans analogy?
Well, cause
I maybe know this. I don't know.
Well, cause like I'll talk a lot, especially to our fitness and nutrition expert students about, you know, weight loss and, or losing fat, sorry. And one of the things I say is that, you know, progress is not linear, because the body, like, it doesn't, there's not like a simple equation that if I work out 5 days a week and I burn, if I work out 7 days a week and I burn 500 calories every day for 7 days, I will 100% lose a pound, because a pound is 3,500 calories.
Yeah.
Because the body, you know, it doesn't take into account everything else that's going on. Like, am I stressed out this week? You know, am I catching up from 2 weeks ago? Because it's not just like 1 week at a time, right? Like, progress is not linear. It flows. And I always use the jeans analogy. It's like, think about times in your life where you've been really consistent and committed to your workouts and healthy eating. And, you know, you're putting on your jeans like every day and you're like, frig, these are still tight. Like, why are they still tight? And then suddenly on like week 3.5, you put them on and they feel super loose. And you're like, where did that come from?
Yeah.
And that's because, you know, eventually one day it will catch up. And it's the same thing with mindset. Like, if you practice it, one day suddenly you'll wake up and be like, whoa, I actually am training for life. And I feel that in my head and in my heart, not just, you know, it's not just something I'm telling myself.
Oh, I really like that.
The jeans analogy. Okay. So mistake number 5 is
super important, by the way.
This is super important. So mistake number 5 that women make when trying to get fit or lose fat, and this is one that a lot of times we do not even think about, is that they do not take into account all of the other things that they're consuming in their life. And that those are things like the fragrances we put on our skin, the plastic we drink out of, any of the toxins that are like in our environment, cell phones, because all of these things are messing with our hormones. And this is a huge thing that we don't even recognize or pay attention to.
Of course. They say that we're exposed to over 30 toxins before we even have breakfast every day.
I know. Well, think about it. Like, it's so true. Crazy. Like, well, we brush our teeth. There's chemicals in our toothbrush. We, you know, put on our makeup. There's so much chemicals in our makeup. We put on deodorant, we spray on perfume. Like, just think about it, like layer after layer after layer. And our
body, I don't wear perfume.
No, but it's
or makeup.
But our bodies need to detoxify. And like, when we're constantly putting toxins on our bodies, they can't detoxify. And then they also start to build up. Mm-hmm. I always say too, to our F&E students about how, you know, you should never put anything in your skin that you wouldn't put in your mouth.
Yeah.
So even for like moisturizers, I use coconut oil. I use sesame oil. Avocado oil is another one I really like. But, you know, anything you put on your skin is going into your system. So if you wouldn't put it on in your mouth, why put it on your skin?
Interesting. I mean, it's an interesting way to look at it. I know even for me, I've started looking at this in a huge way. You know, switching body washes, switching hair, like shampoos, conditioners, all that kind of stuff, because it's, you know, if you can make the change, why not make the change? That's sort of my mindset, is like, it doesn't have to be extreme. I don't have to change every single thing in my lifestyle, but if it's something as simple as just like, oh, I'm going to use this body wash versus X body wash that I normally use, what's the difference really? If it's still giving me, you know, I still smell fresh and clean, I still feel good, but it's actually helping me. Why wouldn't you make that difference? Why wouldn't you make that change?
And they don't need to be super, you know, you don't need to throw out your entire makeup bag. But the thing with these chemicals too, is they're known as hormone disruptors. Mm-hmm. And hormone disruptors, they're disrupting chemicals that are synthetic. And what they do in the body is they basically mimic our natural hormones, and they keep our body from producing more real hormones. They imitate other hormones. They interfere with any signals, because hormones are chemical messengers. Like, they send signals throughout your body. So next thing you know, when you're having all of these, you know, hormone disruptors, your hormones now are like, what is going on? And they're just like, that's why, you know, suddenly you have really high estrogen, or you have really low testosterone, or cortisol levels. Like, a lot of it can tie back to these hormone disruptors. And there's more and more studies coming out now than ever showing that, that these are a major, major factor in getting fit and in losing fat as well.
Definitely. I know that there's a really great book that was written by Suzanne Summers about this specifically. I don't remember the title of the book. I apologize, but I do know that, she wrote a book specifically about all of this. And it just, yeah, it just really breaks it down as to like how to sort of eliminate all of these toxins and how they're really affecting us in our day to day.
Well, that's why I always love Suzanne Zimmers, because not only was she like the pioneer of the Thighmaster, which is like one of the first fitness contraptions I ever used, but she really gets it that it's not just about the fitness. It's, you know what I mean? She also is so into the nutrition. She's so into the hormonal side of it.
Yeah.
And the mindset side too. Like, it really is a holistic approach. But some ways to really easily start to cut out a lot of these hormone disruptors are things like, if you have air fresheners in your house, get rid of them, like Febreze and all that stuff. It is not good for you. They do have a ton of natural essential oil vaporizers now. I actually have one. So you just put the essential oils in with water and it vaporizes and fills your air with your room with nice smelling stuff. And then, of course, we know no more BPAs, so no more plastic. You want to make sure you're drinking out of glass. The other thing is to get rid of any aluminum. Like, don't eat out of a lot of cans unless they're BPA-free. And then also even for cooking, like getting rid of anything Teflon-based and going with more like glass or cast irons. Plus, cast iron makes everything taste way better and you'll get more iron from your food. But those are just a few things that you can start right now. And like I said, changing like your creams to coconut oil or sesame oil. But there's also a really great website called the environmentalworkinggroup.com. And they rate over 72,000 products that you would put on your skin.
That's so cool.
Yeah. And they rank them in a really easy way for you to understand whether or not these could be harmful to you or your family. And then you can at least make an educated choice whether or not you still want to use it.
I wonder if for skincare, I wonder if they also have stuff for children as well. Cause I know that that's like a really hot topic right now in terms
of, yeah, they do.
You know, there's so many products out there that are just falsified. Right. So, okay, cool. Thank you for that. Thanks for that website, Laura. I'm really
No problem. Yeah, they have two versions. They have one, and it's based out of the States. So just for anyone who's listening in Canada, there might be some differences, but they are based out of the States. But they do have the skincare one, but they also have one for food. So if you're looking for foods that have been sprayed with pesticides, they rank them, and it's just a really good resource to educate yourself. And I always think, you know, whether you decide that this is not the avenue you want to take, or you still want to use your oil of olay and all these other things, that's fine. But at least you're making an educated choice to use it. You know what I mean? You're not blindly using it thinking, okay, why suddenly am I, you know, my hormones all over the place and I don't know what's going on. At least this way, you know that this could be contributing to that. Or maybe it could not. I don't know. I didn't look at oil of olay. So I'm not saying that that's one of them, but, but yeah. Okay. So let's just recap. We are coming to the end of this podcast. So what were our five mistakes that women make when trying to get fit or losing fat? So, and all of us are promising right now, even though we can't see you, I want you to raise your hand up and solemnly swear I will no longer make these five mistakes.
Or at least you will try your best to start incorporating some of these positive changes.
Exactly.
Don't overwhelm yourself.
And you can also leave a note on our Facebook page declaring your commitment to it. Okay. So mistake number one was that you don't lift weights. Mistake number two was that you are doing too much cardio. Mistake number three is that you are not eating a proper balance of the three macronutrients, which are protein, carbohydrates, and fat, with the carbohydrates one being focused on fiber. Mistake number four, you are setting unrealistic expectations, which is giving you a not so good mindset, and mindset is everything. And mistake number five, you are not taking into account other environmental things or products that could be messing with your hormones. So hopefully we've given you a lot of good information today that you can at least go home and make one small change in the right direction. And I think we kind of want to end here with, you know, what is your biggest takeaway? If you wanted to give someone summing up this podcast without having to listen to the whole thing, what would be the one thing, Amanda, that you would tell them is I want you to do, or is your biggest takeaway?
I think my biggest takeaway is sort of what I just said, which is don't overwhelm yourself. Look at all of these things and take it all in pieces and incorporate it into your life. You know, so maybe you start doing weights, you start adding it in maybe twice a week just to start getting used to it. And then maybe, you know, you slow down on your cardio so that you're now incorporating weights on other days. And, you know, with the macronutrients, you start really educating yourself on different things.
You know, it's like a bleeding three.
Yeah, exactly. And, but it's really just what I'm trying to say is to not just go like, sometimes we go like gangbusters on things and we'll be like, okay, I got to do everything all at once. And then it becomes so much that it's too much. And then you do that whole thing about mistake number four, which is the self-sabotaging, where you're just like, you know what? No, this is too much. I can't do it. Can't do it all. Forget it. I'm not doing it. I'm just going to, you know, forget everything. So I guess my biggest takeaway is to look at these mistakes, see what you relate to, and where you do relate, just look at small things that you can start incorporating. And then as soon as those become really comfortable and become sort of, you know, a part of your daily routine, that's when you start upping the ante and start increasing in those areas to really start seeing bigger changes.
I totally agree with that. And you know how I like numbers. So I think pick three.
Pick three.
Three is doable. If you could pick three things that you can do, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. And it's not overwhelming. It's a target you're trying to reach for that are three things. Out of all the things we talked about today, maybe it's, you know, getting rid of all of your plastic and yeah. Drinking a glass, you know, like things that are still, that like Amanda said, are still manageable, but at the same time that you're actually going to commit to making a difference. Because I know sometimes when we do get a little bit too much is on the other side of being too strict on ourselves, sometimes we get too loose on ourselves and say, I don't, you know, oh, I'll do it later and blah, blah, blah. But when you have a commitment to yourself of three, then it's something that's actually, you can do it. And it's a goal to reach. And I like to make people accountable. So my biggest takeaway from today, if I had one that I want people to get from this, is that really thinking about fitness and fat loss as a holistic approach. So it's not just the fitness, you know what I mean? It's not just the nutrition. It is not just the mindset. It's not just the hormones. You know, you can't just focus on one of them. You have to look at the whole picture because they all play into your health. And they all play into how you reach your goals. And I know that, you know, for us, our program that we certify other fitness professionals called the Fitness and Nutrition Expert Program. And small plug, the next one starts on September 26th. So if anyone is passionate about health or fitness and wants to be legit about it and really learn the tools and have the confidence to share it with others, as well as the knowledge behind everything, then please join us. You can check it out at fitchicksacademy.com. But that's what we really focus on in that course, is that teaching new fitness professionals all about fitness, but also all about nutrition and all about wellness. And then of course the business side as well, because that ties into how you're going to share your craft with the world, right? But that's just my biggest takeaway, is that I just really hope that you guys all know that there is not one secret to getting fit or losing fat. It's a combination of a bunch of different things, but small changes that will get big results. So with that, let's wrap this puppy up.
All right. Well, thank you for listening, everyone.
I know. I'm always so grateful that that people actually want to hear us banter about something that we just love talking about. So if you guys at any point want to hear about something, of course, email us at info@fitchicks.ca or hit us up on our Facebook page. And we would love to chat about your topics too. Okay. Bye, chicks.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast. Want more healthy love? Visit www.fitchicks.com for amazing resources, free workouts, recipes, tips, and so much more to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life, inside and out.